The US presidential election. This is The Week on Wednesday. Hello and welcome to The Week on Wednesday. I am your host, Ben Davison, and with me, as always, is the somewhat soothsaying, seeing Van Badham, whose column in The Guardian around how to survive the US election turned out to be something that was actually a reference document rather than just something to read and put away. People, I'm sure, are going back to it now that we are in day three of...
It's all a blur.
election,
it's all
US
a blur.
Election
the
results.
Week on Wednesday on Thursday, because the election just keeps going. Yes, I thought that article would only have a fairly narrow window. I sort of got it in the day before election, but, you know, it's sharing quite well.
Yeah. Well, we had hoped that this episode of The Week on Wednesday would be late on Wednesday and be able to give you a really clear indication of who the winner of the US presidential election would be. Obviously, Wednesday just dragged out and dragged out and dragged out in terms of the US election. We're now into Thursday afternoon. We've decided to record today, get this out there.
This can be a historical document when...
Because I'm now comfortably predicting a Biden victory. He now leads in Wisconsin, Michigan. The gap in Pennsylvania is closed. Most of the votes to be counted in Pennsylvania now are mail-ins, which have broken heavily.
Yeah, more than 80% his way.
And if that continues, he'll win Pennsylvania comfortably, from what I'm seeing. Georgia is still a toss-up.
Georgia's very close.
And again, the last set of votes that I saw out of Georgia suggested that if the postals, or they call them mail-ins there, break the way the last lot did, then Georgia could well be in the Biden column.
Which is amazing. If anybody had have said 20 years ago that Georgia would one day be a blue state, no one would have believed it. No one. That was, I mean, Georgia is deep South territory, but demographic change and a spectacular effort by Stacey Abrams. Like, Stacey Abrams, for those of you who don't remember, was the Democratic candidate for governor of Georgia in the last election back in 2016. And she lost because what a lot of Australians struggle to comprehend with is that in America, they don't have an Australian Electoral Commission. They don't have an American Electoral Commission. They have the state governments of those states. Yeah. And elected officials are the ones who determine the election regime. So literally the people who you vote for are the people who determine how you vote. And we'll probably get into some of the complexities and implications of that in this discussion. But Stacey Abrams was campaigning in the election literally against her Republican opponent, who was changing the conditions of the election.
Well, he was the Secretary of State.
He was the Attorney General.
And the Attorney General in that state had control over...
The ballot process,
which polling places got opened, when they got opened, how long they were opened for, how many ballot papers they had. That gubernatorial election was... really very, very much one of those cases of voter suppression. And there was some talk that Stacey Abrams was taken to court. Didn't in the end.
No, she had her revenge though, my lordy. So Stacey Abrams has basically spent the past 4 years organising the Democratic vote in Georgia. Yeah. With this like willful determination of a wronged woman to redress the balance. And she has been an extraordinary, extraordinary activist for democracy and for her party in that state. So people are saying that if Georgia flips, which is what happens in that's the lingo.
And by the time you listen to this, it may have happened.
I've got a good feeling about Georgia. I've just got a good feeling about Georgia. I've met some very nice people from Atlanta, and I just cannot believe that they would vote for that bad man, Donald Trump. So I've got a feeling. But look, posterity may record that I was wrong, in which case, enemies, here you go. Here's a free one.
Well, let's look at the West Coast a little bit too, because
sure.
At the moment, with Biden ahead in Wisconsin, and it's been called, lots
it's
of the
called,
outlets
Wisconsin.
Are calling Wisconsin. They're calling Michigan as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Fox has called Arizona, but CNN hasn't. And we're going to talk about Cuomo shortly, too, because that...
Is it blue? Is it red?
Just give me the results. Tell me the numbers. If you've got something to say, tell me. I'll come to you, and then we'll talk about it.
Everyone, Ben and I have not had a lot of sleep.
So So that's CNN. But Cuomo, we'll talk about Cuomo later on. That CNN haven't called Arizona because
Fox News did.
But Fox News did, which enraged President Trump, apparently.
So yeah. So where are we going to start? We're going to talk about Arizona.
Let's just very quickly say. So if Biden has Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and he's got Michigan and Wisconsin,
yep.
then if he wins Nevada, that's the ball game. He's got 270, and whatever happens in Georgia doesn't really matter, and whatever happens in Pennsylvania doesn't really matter.
And North Carolina,
which is also not called.
So at the time that Ben and I are recording this, the states that have not been called are Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, and...
That's it.
Yeah, Nevada.
Oh, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone's giving Alaska to Trump.
Yeah, Alaska is going to be a red state, although it could throw up an independent as the senator. That is possible. He's kind of amazing. He's a doctor who runs a fishing boat business. In Alaska, that's how it is. His ads are amazing. He's like, I'm Dr. Al Gross, and I shoot things, and here's me chopping up ice. And there's like literally this man, nothing this man cannot do, which is handy in an icy wasteland. But yeah, so Nevada... Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. And
the reality is that Trump has to win them all. If Biden wins, it'll be by grabbing any of those states and adding them to his pile.
Yeah, he only needs one of them.
Yeah. So it is close, but all of the mail-in ballots now are breaking heavily towards Biden, so much so that Trump's team are trying to get the votes cancelled.
So we know why...
Or get the counts cancelled, I should say.
So just to give everybody some context, coronavirus is ruining the United States. 250,000 people are dead from it. They are now clocking up today. This was particularly sad. They're now over 100,000 new infections a day. They have totally lost control of the virus. Running an election under those circumstances, and let's remember, elections in America are a relic of another time anyway. They're held, they're always held on a Tuesday. It's not a public holiday.
It's to do with market cycles, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's still got to do with their agrarian past, like their school holiday system and everything else. America is just a reluctance to move on, move with the times, I believe, somewhat definitive of that system. And this is even before we talk about the Electoral College. But what they did try and do to maximise voter participation and minimise exposure to coronavirus was different states. Every state has different ways of doing things electorally and passed their own laws, all 50 of them, about the electoral process meant that they made options to mail-in ballots, which has been a feature of the United States voting system since the Civil War. In the 1860s, the Union Army, who were all deployed all over America fighting the Civil War, voted for their president, for their presidential candidate at the height of the fighting.
Interesting side note on that. They voted for President Lincoln, not General McClellan, who was technically their general and who hadn't committed them to battle because he wanted to run for president, and they still voted for Lincoln. So there you go, folks.
Yeah, interesting historical note. So mail-in ballots have always been a feature of United States elections. Obviously, with their massive, huge military, who could be anywhere at any time, mail-in ballots are administered really easily. Alternatively, because of coronavirus, they've had drop-off ballot voting. So you would get your mail-in ballot, and rather than put it back in the post, you would put it in a drop box and they would collect it, or you could bring it in to a polling place or do early voting. So they've had all of these different sort of ways. What that's meant is that in every state, they're counting all the votes from all the different counties in different orders. So sometimes they count the votes on the day first. Sometimes they count the mail-in ballots first. All of the states that we've got left are counties, because they do the vote counting on a county-by-county basis, their local government areas, are the mail-in ballots that came in last. And we were warned before the election that this was going to give us a very distorted idea of who was winning and who was ahead. Because, of course, in the lead-up to the election, Donald Trump decided to run this, mail-in ballots are illegitimate, mail-in ballots are not real votes, they're trying to steal the election and was like posting memes of people setting ballots on fire or losing them in streams, whatever. And it was, I mean, it was all complete nonsense. Donald Trump himself votes by mail because he is now domiciled in Florida, presumably for tax reasons. And so he and his family vote by mail all the time. But the process that's good enough for him was apparently not good enough for everyone else. What the Republicans have been doing, sensing that Donald Trump was in trouble because there were lots of polls that suggested that he probably was creating this narrative that mail-in ballots were illegitimate and real Americans voted in person and no one's scared of coronavirus and don't wear a mask and they're un-American and against freedom and this whole kind of thing. And, of course, now we're in the situation where Donald Trump is using the rhetoric that he's been using for months to say, oh, these ballots are illegitimate and stop the count, stop the counting. Clearly I've won because clearly these are all rigged and it's a lie.
And let's be really clear about this as well, right? That it, not only is it a lie, it's intellectually dishonest because at the same time as he's launching challenges in Pennsylvania to try and... That's our dog barking at the birds. But at the same time as Trump is launching these legal challenges to try and stop votes being counted in Pennsylvania on the basis of a Republican observer seeing 53 ballots that were apparently submitted after the deadline being added to a pile. 53, by the way, is not going to be enough. If you were going to rig an election, you wouldn't do it with 53 ballots. But besides which, that's a legal challenge he's put in. Chances are, even if it succeeds, all it means is 53 ballots will be removed from the pile. But he's pushing this stop the count, stop the count, stop the count. At the same time, as in Arizona and Nevada, where Biden leads, he's saying we have to count every vote. We have to count every vote. So he knows that what he's arguing is contradictory, but he's putting it out there because he's trying to win. All Trump has ever wanted to do is win. And it doesn't really matter what gets sacrificed along the way. And we're seeing that play out right to the bitter end of the Trump presidency. It doesn't matter if it's democracy itself that gets sacrificed on the altar of Trump's desire to be victorious. That's what he's going to do. And that's what he's doing.
Oh, it's amazing. Somebody was making this point yesterday, is the thing about Donald Trump is he tells you the crime. He tells you the lie. He tells you exactly what he's going to do before he does it. And his whole thing is seeding narratives. You know, like he's been banging on about this for months. This has clearly been their strategy, that they would encourage Republicans to vote on the day. And while Biden was encouraging everybody to be safe, of course, and to mail in ballots and not expose their health and not take risks, which, you know, had an effect on the Biden campaign. So people are trying to work out why there was a big vote for Trump. And there has been a big vote for Trump, and he did add to his vote in some places, like notably in Florida. But things that the Trump campaign did, the Democrats wouldn't do, is that they were door knocking, you know, in contravention of all guidelines around coronavirus and lockdowns and staying safe. The Republicans were door knocking, and they were doing in-person rallies, usually without masks, everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. On the last day of the campaign, Trump did like six appearances. Yeah. These crowds all mushed in together, all saying we don't need masks. And of course, the rhetoric from Trump has been, oh, well, you know, don't let coronavirus dominate your life. You tell coronavirus what to do. Now, a study came out from one of the American universities. I have a feeling it was Harvard. It might have been Yale. It was one of the big universities that said that they calculated exposure risks from coronavirus just based on Trump rallies, and they were mapping where coronavirus was having outbreaks. And they estimated that up to 30,000 people may have contracted lethal coronavirus, on based on probability models, because of known infections that were transmitted at Trump rallies.
So the man's prepared to sacrifice democracy. He's prepared to sacrifice his own
followers.
And it shows. It does show. You know, he did get those people to come out and vote. You know,
they might be dead in the next 3 weeks.
That's right. Isn't that just an awful, awful concept?
Whereas Biden and Harris were doing these amazing socially distanced rallies. They did a lot of car rallies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
such an American thing.
Yeah,
right?
Where people would honk.
USA!
Yeah, honk, 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 you know. And they weren't door knocking, and they were relying on phone get out the vote campaigns. I had a lot of American friends who were volunteering for the Democrats and like phoning people in Florida and then in Arkansas and then where they just get everybody to the polls. And it was hard, and it did hamper their campaign because you know, of course, in Australia, we're maybe not paying so much attention to the level of celebrity endorsements that went behind Biden in this campaign. Of course, the Democratic model is usually, you know, to have a political rally. And Beyonce turns up. Beyonce did a gig for Biden. Lady Gaga was, like, doing gigs for Biden. Eminem.
I think they have questionable value myself, but anyway.
Well, I mean, the thing is that they get people together and they get people head up. And in America, as we both know, unlike Australia, whoever wins is who gets out the vote.
That's true.
And it's one of the reasons their politics is so polarised is because they don't actually have an electoral system like we do with compulsory voting. Mm. Compulsory voting, every Australian should get down on their hands and knees and thank God that we have that system, because compulsory voting was actually introduced in Australia in the 1920s, not only to boost participation in elections, but to perpetually oblige the government to make sure a ballot paper physically got into the hands of every Australian, because there was concern that if we had voluntary voting in this country, which we did have before the 1920s, was that if you didn't live in a city, well, the government really couldn't be bothered making it easy for you to vote. So compulsory voting is about stopping voter suppression forever and ever and ever. And since the 1962 referendum, where finally Indigenous Australians were given the vote, we have had a system without voter suppression, and it makes all the difference. And having an independent electoral arbiter like the AEC makes all the difference. And it means that in terms of our politics, that we have to talk to one another, because there are groups of people in the middle ideologically who swing. Sometimes they're Liberal voters, sometimes they're Labor voters, and that's what determines the election. In America, like, you can, as we've seen, be an absolute batty noodle, I think is the best term I can say without sweary words, Apple. Yeah. You can be a total batty noodle, shred democracy, put children in cages, take 500 kids away from their parents forever.
Yeah.
Like, let's remember, their border policies got tiny little children out of their parents' hands, and they deported the parents, and the children are still in America.
In cages.
Like, and you can be that right-wing and crazy, but if you find that many right-wing crazy people to get to the polls, you win.
And there's a big part of turning out people not just to vote for you, but fundamentally to vote against the other guy. And I've seen some very interesting articles today where people turned up to vote against Biden, right? So they turned up to vote for Trump against Biden because they believed this idea that Biden was a communist, and they wanted to make sure that he didn't bring in communism to America.
Oh, my
that
God.
There were people who, you know, turned out to vote for the first time in their late 20s, early 30s, who voted for Biden and were asked, you know, so you're voting for Biden or you're voting against Trump? And they said, look, honestly, I'm probably more voting against Trump. And when you think about that context and go, there has been more people vote in this American election than have ever voted before in an American election, and more people have voted for Biden than have ever voted for an American presidential candidate before, you can start to see how that turnout issue really impacts things, because it creates that mindset. So there is that mindset that, despite what Biden says about, you know, we're opponents, we're not enemies, there's a lot of turnout that gets based on, these people are our enemies. We have to beat them. And if we don't beat them with the ballot box, they're having protests, they're having legal challenges, they're doing all sorts of other ways, I guess, to try and influence this. Now, the good news is that none of that other stuff seems to be working. The votes are being counted. And state after state, Attorney General after Attorney General, Secretary of State after Secretary of State has come out and said that they'll be counting the votes, that they'll keep counting the votes, then they are doing it. Even when there is a legal challenge, they just keep on doing it. I think Nevada, originally somebody I heard say Nevada had stopped counting, and Nevada came and said, no, we are counting. We're just not telling you, all of you people, what the results are yet. We're just going to count every vote, and then we're going to tell you what the result is.
Well, because, I mean, this is the thing. You know, the kind of political commentators from America who I really like have a saying about the Republicans that they're just so bad at this. Like, they're just so bad at all the actual clever clogs things that you have to do. The Republicans of old used to do, and you and I are old enough to be veterans of the Bush v. Gore election in 2000, where it all came down to some votes in Florida, 500 contested votes in Florida, and these massive legal challenges that went to the Supreme Court to determine the winner of that election. And the Republicans got up to all kinds of nefarious shenanigans. One of the lawyers who actually worked on Bush v. Gore, which prevailed in Bush's favour and he became president, is a guy called Ben Goldberg, and he's actually been giving a lot of commentary because he's obviously brilliant and evil, but is one of those guys who's developed a conscience somewhere along the line, just going, there aren't grounds. Like, Trump just doesn't have grounds to do what the Republicans did in Bush v. Gore. And Trump has already run six cases against the electoral authorities in Pennsylvania to have ballots discounted and things changed around, and he's already lost six of them.
Yeah.
So he's zero for six, and the latest attempts to stop the count. I mean, they're ridiculous because the Pennsylvanians are onto him. There is a Democratic governor in Pennsylvania, as opposed to in Florida 20 years ago, where the governor was George Bush's brother, which was very handy. But the governor has come out and said, in the state of Pennsylvania, we believe in democracy and we will count every vote. And the Pennsylvanians, I love this, have been live streaming their count. They have cameras on everyone and everything that's taking place in that room. But there are some really concerning signs. So there are these crazy protests, like you've got Trump supporters in Nevada and Arizona going, count the votes. And then they're in Pennsylvania, North Carolina and Georgia going, stop the count. But there's this amazing footage that I tweeted out. You can find it on my Twitter feed, although you might be hundreds of tweets down at this point. Of this guy who ran up on stage when a Nevada polling, you know, this lovely overtired polling official with his mask on was going, in Maricopa County, and this dude, no mask, a T-shirt that says beer, barbecues and freedom, this sleeveless sort of T-shirt and a pair of shorts, runs onto the stage and does this monologue about the Biden crime family's trying to steal this election, you know, it's a fraud and they're stuffing it full of ballots, blah, blah, blah. And it's, somebody described it as the mobilisation of misinformation, when misinformation gets mobilised. And one of the things we know about how the voting's gone, so this unbelievable vote for Trump in Florida, where 200,000 extra votes turned up in Miami-Dade, which is the biggest electorate, which the Democrats still won that. Well, it's not an electorate, it's a county. Were Cuban Americans who have been propagandised by the Trump campaign for 4 years. 4 years of disinformation telling them, and they're all refugees from Castro's Cuba, that Biden is a communist, that the Democrats are communists and they're all socialists and they'll put your families in prison. And you have people with deeply traumatised experiences of political, like genuine political oppression in Cuba, who are getting Spanish language information targeted to them and this false information environment where they're literally convinced that Joe Biden is a communist. I mean, it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's total nonsense. Look, it's going down to the wire. Hopefully by the time that you listen to this podcast...
It's going down to the wire and our dog is chasing it in that direction.
There will be a result. I do want to briefly just talk about the coverage of the election, because I do think CNN's Cuomo 3 a.m. shift with Cuomo and the frat boy Anthony Green is just, if you haven't seen it, you've got to find some footage of it somewhere.
It is literally hilarious. So Cuomo from CNN is the brother of the Cuomo who's the governor of New York, and he's from New York, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
And he had clearly not physically prepared himself for the 3 a.m. shift in a nail-biter election.
And this is a guy in his late 40s, right? Maybe early 50s.
He might be early 50s, yeah. And he was wired on coffee, like literally drinking litres of it, and had this Anthony Green type electoral whisperer who was pointing at the big map of America and talking about paths and votes and counties and booths and the mail-ins and whatever, and Cuomo just could not process. He was so tired. And the dialogue was like, are the votes red or are they blue? Are they red or blue? You know, are they mailing? Whose ballots are they? Where are they coming from? It was just like magic television.
As I said before, we don't know. What we do know is that we have to count all the ballots and there's more ballots to come in. And while it's a Republican county, yes, it's a Republican county, but are there Republican votes? We don't know. We don't have that information.
Oh, my God. It was. I described it to Ben and I think I tweeted it. It was like watching somebody trying to teach calculus to a bear. Like, It was because Cuomo just could not process what he was being told. So you can all understand what's going on. And one of the things that was predicted about the election by a lot of people was that because of this wedge that had been driven, that the Republicans were encouraging on the day voting, Democrats were encouraging pre-poll voting of any form. What that led to was an illusion, which they're calling the red mirage and the blue mirage, that in states where they counted the votes on the day first, you would get this mirage of these big Republican swings.
Yep.
And this was the case in Virginia. Like, Virginia is a solid Democratic state. My beloved Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's running mate, who I adore, as you know, for many reasons, he's a former governor of Virginia. Like, it's blue heartland. And for hours yesterday, it was firmly bright.
It was red, wasn't it?
It was bright red with these like massive sort of 15-point gap. And then I was panicking going, oh, my God, the legacy of Tim Kaine, how could you? And then, of course, later in the day,
Fairfax came in.
Yeah, Fairfax County, which is where all the Democrats live, came in by the hundreds of thousands and bang, it was blue and declared for Biden. So that was the red mirage. We're still in red mirage territory with Pennsylvania and with Georgia and with North Carolina, where even though it seems Trump is clearly ahead, we know that those mail-in ballots are actually blue, and that we know that because we've counted some of them, we've seen them, and holding up with the patterns around the country with the mail-in ballots, around 80% of them are flowing to Biden.
And people in America, of course, register as a Republican or a Democrat as well.
So they can vote in pre-selections, which is also sick and weird.
So and we know that something like 70% of the postal votes have gone to registered Democrats.
Yes.
Now, not every registered Democrat will vote Democrat for whatever reason. That's what they say. But it actually looks like not every registered Republican is voting Republican either
No, they aren't. So that is a really interesting thing that's going on, is that there is a swing against Trump. Obviously, otherwise Biden wouldn't be able to flip states. And that swing against Trump is very quiet. These are people who weren't necessarily putting up lawn signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was discussed before the election as well, that there were particularly pockets of suburban women who might have been from Republican families but could not bring themselves to vote for Trump. And this is entirely aside to the sort of Republican voters against Trump and the Never Trumpers and the sort of efforts of people
outspoken.
Like those guys who everybody knows I just adore because they're funny and cruel, like Rick Wilson, all those guys. This is completely separate from what they're doing. But as those guys do say, you know, elections are won by coalitions of tiny, tiny groups of people. What I find very funny is with the Democratic accusations that, you know, that Trump's accusations, because Trump, of course, when it became clear that he was not in the lead, apparently the issue was last night that all these blue votes came in Arizona.
Yeah.
And Fox News, owned by Rupert Murdoch, traditional, reliable, they call it state television in the US because it supports Trump so unquestioningly, Fox News called Arizona for Biden. And apparently phone calls were made from the White House to Rupert Murdoch himself to say, you get them to retract that. That's not on. Because the whole narrative has been, oh, Trump's got, you know, the momentum's with Trump. Trump's going to get elected. And, of course, when Fox called Arizona, which is the first seat to flip, you know, the Republicans knew they were in trouble, but they didn't want anyone else to know that because they wanted to run this whole, mail-in ballots, blah, blah, blah. As anybody in politics knows, you don't rig a ballot by putting votes in. You rig a ballot by taking votes out. And that's obviously the strategy that Trump has, which is he's trying to get these mail-in ballots, which lean heavily Democratic, excluded.
Yeah.
The thing I love about the fact that Arizona flipped, and it's like, why Arizona, you know, fairly conservative kind of place, you know, cowboys kind of thing, cowboy country, is that Arizona was the state held by Senator John McCain, who was, of course, Obama's opponent in the first Obama election. And McCain was an old school Republican. He was a Vietnam vet. Yeah. He was the one who spent 5 years in a military prison during the Vietnam War. He was a fighter who was shot down. And even he was from a prominent military family in the Viet Cong.
Admiral McCain was his father.
Yeah. And the South Vietnamese Army, North Vietnamese Army, who were his captors, they offered to send him home because his father was a powerful man, and he refused. Like, he stayed in that prison in Vietnam, which was not a nice experience, and he ended up with permanent disability from the experience because he wouldn't leave his men. He was that kind of guy, like honour, decency and stability. And during the election against Obama, there was this really famous moment when a woman stood up at one of McCain's own town halls and went, "I just don't want to vote for Obama because he's a Muslim." And McCain gave this answer going, "Look, madam, it's not appropriate you speak about him like that. He's an honourable and decent man. And if he becomes president, I will support him because he's my president." It was like this really beautiful moment of the kind of values that he represented.
Yeah.
And yes, he was a conservative, and obviously our politics were very different, but he was a decent human being. Donald Trump hated John McCain, hated him. He famously talked about how he thought he was a loser because he got captured.
Yeah.
Was literally in a plane shot out of the sky.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, that's pretty, that's not, oh, I was a bit late to.
Yeah, I didn't just wander into the enemy camp
I got lost in the jungle and they found me. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, I was looking for the latrine and I stumbled into a prison camp.
Yeah,
no, that's
that
not
was
happened.
Not what was happening. And you know, of course, Trump's opinions about the military being suckers and losers are well known.
Yeah.
Feeling that might have been quite.
Yeah.
But Arizona, so John McCain's wife, widow, Cindy McCain, is very much alive, and she endorsed Joe Biden, which from a woman who has been seen as a pillar of the Republican Party, particularly Republican Party fundraising in Arizona for like 5 decades. And she said, oh, you know, my husband was a veteran, my father was a veteran, my children are veterans, and I cannot support Donald Trump. I will not do it. I will not do it as a Republican. I will not do it as a human being. And so, you know, the joke is the ghost of John McCain is just hovering over Arizona to destroy Donald Trump's life, to get him from beyond the grave. And I believe it. I believe it. I understand the power of vengeance, as you well know.
As I well know.
As you well know. And that's quite, that's sort of one of my favourite stories of the election.
That's a lovely piece of sort of good news. Look, there's a lot to unpack in the US election, and I think we'll probably end up coming back to this topic in future episodes, because there's all sorts of things that have happened. Obviously, Trump has also got a record amount of votes. It's been a record turnout. So there are things there that we should unpack and we should seek to understand better. The good news, I think there's a lot of good news in this election. Obviously, more people have voted for Joe Biden than have ever voted for a presidential candidate before, and there's still votes to count. That's an amazing thing for democracy. A lot of the working class voters who didn't vote for Hillary or didn't turn out for Hillary have turned out for Biden.
And let's remember, you know, Biden cops a lot of stick from the American left because he's an old school Democrat politician and he's moderate and he's old and all of those things, and he's not like funky and cool. But as you and I both know, Joe Biden is as union as it'll get out. He is a trade union warrior. And if you're looking at the results in Wisconsin, Michigan, like Michigan is the home of Detroit.
Yeah.
Like these are union towns.
And these are all states where people might remember Michael Moore said the Democrats will never win them back. Michael Moore said the Democrats would never win them back because the Democrats had abandoned the working class, so the working class were no longer going to vote for them. Now, that seems to have changed a bit. I think we'll get more data on that, and I want to big shout out to Koz Samaras, who's already started to break down some of those numbers.
I love him.
So I'm getting some of this from you, Koz, and I really appreciate that, mate. So there's lots to break down in this election.
Mm.
Hopefully by the time you listen to this, Joe Biden is the
President of the United States, the President-elect of the United States. And I mean, I really want Biden to be president, because, and I really want Kamala Harris to be
that's a
vice president,
in itself too.
Because Kamala Harris is an extraordinary person, and they're engaged progressives. Biden came out today and said that the first thing he'll do as president is ratify the Paris Climate Agreement. You know, they've got this amazing jobs plan around climate. They've brought in all of those other Democrats into the policy tent. So you've had Sanders and Warren and Andrew Yang and Pete Buttigieg and all those people working on a platform for government, which obviously Trump doesn't have. He didn't even launch a platform with the Republicans convention. And it could be a really exciting time for America, like a really exciting time. But just a couple of, because we love some happy news at the end of this, one tiny thing from the election yesterday is that Mississippi has changed its state flag. So Mississippi used to have the Confederate flag on its state flag, which is not very cool, and they have a new one now, which has a flower on it and the words "In God We Trust," which is enormous progress for Mississippi. Well done. The other thing is
Can I just on that very quickly?
Yes.
People might want to go back and check a Simpsons episode, because I'm pretty sure there's a Simpsons episode where they change a state flag to a flower and something like "In God We Trust."
Really?
That they used to have a Confederate flag or something similar on it. So once again, the Simpsons may have led the way.
Oh, they always do. They always do. But the other piece of really interesting news, as someone said, the real winner of the election were drugs, because drugs are becoming legalized in more states across America.
There you go.
Yeah, they're decriminalizing marijuana all over the place. They're also a couple of the really conservative states have approved marijuana for medical use. And in the state of Oregon, they have legalized, not just decriminalized, legalized magic mushrooms.
Because that's a group of people who really need more ways to get psychotropic.
And all of these have passed. Every state where there was a drug law liberalization. Yeah. Option on the papers because they vote on laws in America, which is totally bizarre. It won. So people are saying, you know, the next president of the United States, if they run on drug legalization, will also probably win.
There you go. That's all we have time for. We have gone over. We've gone a day late. It's just the total chaos that is.
We still don't know who the president of the United States is.
We still don't know.
Should I check Twitter? I'll just check.
I want
to see if something's happened in Nevada.
I want to thank everybody again for tuning in. Please do share the episode. Do subscribe. Do email us the week on Wednesday at Gmail. Do sign up to our Twitter feed, Week on Wednesday. Love you, Vanny.
I love you too.
Bye-bye. Bye.